plate a potential nugget.
And given you do both, Aishe, you know, can you sort of throw the light on what are the, let's say, nuances in, let's say, life design versus product design, you know, in addition to whatever is applicable from product design? Are there any elements which start becoming significant when we embark on life design?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you for asking that. It's one of the things that's interesting about life design is I call it pure design because it's you, your life, and a design process. There's no intermediary of products. Versus when you're designing products, you're introducing products into that life as an intermediary. And often when you design products, the user is other people. We don't think of ourselves. We think of people who could be very different from us, but we try and solve problems for them. Versus when you're designing your life, this is your opportunity to be very self-centered and to think about you because you're the user of your life. And that's what I remind people, you know, you have one life and the user of that life is you. You need to imagine what's the life that really is your life design that works with your values, that is the kind of life that you, that will bring you joy or that will bring you closer to joy. And then, of course, we're not alone in this life, right? But once you have that idea, you can bring other people into it. So you can bring your family into it as your collaborators and talk to your spouse or children or your parents about, here's my vision for my life. I need your help. Let's collaborate on it together. And you bring other people in.
That's interesting.
But first, you need to know what you want.
Even there, if I go back to one of the things I learned from another individual, a lady called Tasha Urich, who was on this podcast many moons back, she talks about the notion of internal self-awareness and external self-awareness. And she says, one is our internal understanding of our needs, wants, aspirations, and so on. And sometimes when we get external input, it sort of comes in our blind spot. And it's important to address both before we, you know, form a full picture. Any thoughts on the outside-in perspective, even at the design stage?
Oh, I like Tasha's work a lot. So, and thank you for reminding us of that. I think it's, both are really important. So the way I try and approach it is, I want to connect people with their superpowers and their kryptonite and their values as internal drivers, and then get them to think about their challenges and opportunities and the things that they want to include versus the things that they want to avoid. And so there is that tension, a very healthy tension between who they are on the inside, and then what's their environment and how they can create a balance between the two.
This is an interesting insight. When we design a product for a customer, we often do surveys to tune into what the customers want. But when we're designing for ourselves, we sometimes may not quite know what we want. When I engage with a leader as a coach or as a sounding board, I end up speaking to 20 to 25 people around the leader at work and on the personal front. This includes spouse, sibling, friends, and some of the other well-wishers who give me a sense of some of the hardwired elements of the leader, but also give me a sense of what the person is looking for in life. Combining that with the internal self-awareness gives us a good starting point to move forward in the coaching journey. I also like another point that Aishe makes. She says that once we have an idea about the life redesign, we need to find ways of getting other people into our world. Stu Friedman of Wharton, who was at the podcast earlier, speaks about this where he says that people around us often don't state what they care about. They take positions. In some ways, it's our job to decode what they really care about and come up with a solution that addresses some of those concerns.
Well, in putting this part of the program together, we borrowed heavily from modern negotiations theory. And that's where this notion comes from. So if you read the great Roger Fisher and Bill Ury, Getting to Yes, which is one of the fundamental works in that field, you'll learn about this notion of positions, not interests. The basic idea there is what you want to find out from people as you're trying to discover new ways of doing things that are good for both of you, or agreements that are going to work for both of you, win-wins, you've got to get past the position and to the underlying interest. So what do you really care about? Well, I want you to be home more. Well, okay. But what's really important to you? Well, I just need you to be around more. Okay. Why is that important to you? Well, so that I know you care about me, that I know you love me, and that you have my interests in mind, and that you're going to do everything you can to protect me and to nurture me. Oh, okay. Let's talk about the different ways that I can make that happen, even when I'm not here. So you start to talk about all kinds of creative possibilities instead of arguing over when you're home. It's not so much about when you're home. It's about where your heart is and where your mind is when you're with the people who matter most. And this goes, of course, for people at work and in the community as well. So another thing that we found is that it's not so much the amount of time that parents spend with their kids that affects their mental health, their emotional health. It's the quality of that time. Am I present? And for moms, especially for mothers, it was a matter of, again, not the amount of time they spent with their children. And in fact, the more time that mothers spent on their own self-care, the better off their children were in terms of their mental health. And that, of course, is because when you take care of yourself as a mother, you're much better able to take care of your kids when you need to.
Bringing it back to what Aishe says, these things are never done in a vacuum. We need to be thoughtful about how we enroll the people around us in our ongoing life redesign. That's arguably as important as the thinking we do around the redesign itself.